Lord of the leftovers. To set the stage for what we just read, Jesus was going from village to village teaching. And he called the 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits, the Bible says. And this was the disciples' first missions trip. This was their first missions trip without Jesus. This was their first time practicing alone what they had heard taught and preached day after day by Jesus. That's not an easy task. If you've been living for God for any time now, you know that it's easy to come here and hear the preached word and hear the word of God come across this pulpit from mighty men and being preached and encouraging each and every one of us. And we get all charged and we get all happy. Or we go to camps and conferences and we come back and we're so excited about what we heard God speak. And then we go to work. And then we go to school. And then we go home to our unsaved households. And what we heard and we were so excited about and blessed by, it becomes a challenge sometimes to live it and to preach it, to put it into practice. We come here and we see lives being touched and people being healed and people being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we go home and sometimes it just feels like it's hard to pray by ourselves in our own rooms. But to make things a little more stressful for the apostles, for the disciples, he told them to take nothing for their journey. He sent them out two by two and he said, but don't take anything except the walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. But he did allow them to take their sandals. But they couldn't take a change of clothes. So he's like, hey, I'm going to send you on your first missions trip, but all you can take is what you have, like right now. Like your clothes and your stick. Yeah, you can keep your shoes. And so the apostles went on their way and on their first missions trip. But not only that, he also told them that wherever they go, to stay in the same house until they leave that city. Talk about wearing out a welcome. Wherever you find a place to stay, just stay there until you leave. Just stay there. So this was not an easy first missions trip for the apostles, for the disciples. And he said, if anybody won't receive you, just dust off your shoes and or go on your way. And their future, their eternity is in their own hands at that point. However, things were not going very well for Jesus either at this time. He had been rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. They wouldn't receive him. They didn't believe anything he said. And he could do no miracles there, the Bible says. And then he just found out that his good friend John the Baptist was killed by King Herod. So, it's easy to see that why Jesus and the disciples in this text that we just read were going to a quiet or a private place together. They hadn't even ate anything, so they were hungry. And they just got back from a missions trip, so they were tired and physically and spiritually worn out. So Jesus said, let's go. Let's get on the boat and let's go across the sea to a quiet place where we can relax and where we can eat. I feel like sometimes that's where I'm at. I'm hungry, I'm tired, or hangry, as they say. Has anybody ever been hangry, hungry and angry, frustrated, tired? It's not easy. I just want to find a quiet place across a lake and just sit and eat. But see, we as we live for God and us Christians, and if you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If this is your first time, you're welcome. This is family. This is your family now. But whether this is your first time in a church service or this is your 100th time in a church service, we get tired. We get tired with work. We get tired with school. We get tired with our daily tasks. And we get physically and spiritually worn down. We get to feeling rejected by friends or family. Perhaps you've lost somebody close to you recently and it's not easy. School's not going well or the money's funny and you're just not in a good place. It's not easy. Life can be hard. Life can be tough. And you try to do good. You try to do right. But sometimes you just don't have the strength. So Jesus told the disciples, let's go to a quiet place, the Bible says. When the trial seems too real and you don't know what to do, you have a lot of choices. You could blow up in the situation. You can yell at the kids and you can kick the dog and you can skip school or call off from work. But when you have hard choices to make and you're tired and worn down, the best thing you can do is get in a quiet place with Jesus. The best thing you could do physically and spiritually, emotionally, the best thing that you could ever do is find a quiet place with Jesus. See, don't seclude yourself from the body of Christ. Don't seclude yourself all alone, by yourself. Because isolation is devastation. If you seclude yourself from family, if you seclude yourself from the family of God, if you seclude yourself from positive influences, all you're doing is killing yourself spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. The only good time to be alone is when you're alone with Him. Amen? The only good time to be alone in your stress, in your anger, in your frustration, in your joy, in your peace. The only good time to be alone is when we're alone with Him. Amen? And so the disciples were alone with Jesus. But even in our times of exhaustion, hunger, and loneliness, there are those around us that need a touch from God. They need to feel His love. They need to feel His peace and His joy. I don't know about you, but even on my best day, I need a touch. I need to feel His love. I need to feel His joy because I'm not me without Him. I'm created in His image. I'm created for His glory. And if I don't get in touch with Him and I don't feel His love, His peace, and His joy, I can't be who He wants me to be. And then we see in verse 35 and 36, the disciples, they told Jesus, send the people home. It says in 35 and 36, He said, late in the afternoon, His disciples came to Him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. So send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat. You see, even in our exhaustion, even in our loneliness, even in our frustration, even in our anger, or whatever life is throwing at us, we can't just send them away. We can't just send the hurting and the broken away. We can't just put them off because we will feel put out. We can't just send them away. You see, this world doesn't have what they need. This world doesn't have what they are looking for. We have what they need, and we have what they're looking for because we have Jesus, and He's all they need. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We've got what this world needs. There's so much hate and anger. You look in the political world right now. These people who are supposed to be grown adults making good decisions for our country can't even talk. And we wonder why. And these politicians are wondering why. When we take God out of everything, we take God out of the courts, we take God out of Congress, we take God out of schools, and we don't understand why there's hates and murders and guns in school. We can't figure out why there's bullying problems. We can't figure out why there's wars. We can't figure out why neighbors can't just talk. But they're looking at all the programs that the world has to offer. Let's bring counselors into school. Let's bring security into school. Let's bring this and that into school. All we need is to bring Him back into school. All we need to do is bring Him back in our country. All we need to do is find Jesus. But when it's brought up, we say, well, let's have prayer in school. They look at you like you're funny until they're in need. They look at you like you're a goofy Christian, a goody two-shoes, until they're in need. But that's fine, because when they are in need and they're coming to me, I'm not going to push them away. I'm not going to say, go find it in the world. Go to a program. I'm going to say, I got what you need. I'm so glad you came to me. I got more than you could ever ask for. So Jesus tells them, in verse 37 and verse 38, Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. And they said, with what? With what? They asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all of these people. He said, how much bread do you have? He asked. Go find out. And they came back and reported, We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Here the Lord tells them not to send them away, but to meet the need. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody today. I might just be preaching to myself because God put this word, He put it in my heart a while back. But lately He's just been stirring this in me. So if I'm not preaching to any of you, I'm preaching to me tonight, and I'm going to amen myself. But I feel like today God's got something for somebody. I feel like God's got something for each and every one of you. He has something that He's going to put into your spirit today. He's going to have something that He's going to strengthen you with today. The disciples said, with what? With what? We don't have anything to offer. We don't. We don't have anything to offer. For us to feed them, for us to meet the need, we'd have to work for months to have enough. We'd have to work for months to have enough. You see, this was just a test from Jesus. He wanted to see how they'd respond. He wanted to see if they would try to meet the need in the flesh or if they would try to meet the need with faith. We have to understand that we can't meet ours or anybody else's need with our own knowledge and our own ability. We can't. It doesn't matter what systems, what programs we try to put in schools and jobs in this country. We can't meet the need. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can meet the need. We can try to put counselors in school, but my word says that He is the wonderful counselor. Only He can meet the needs in this country, in this world. However, Jesus does want to use us. He does want to use you and me. He wants to use what we have. And if we give it to Him, then He can work the miracle through us. The Bible says that we are His body. He did walk this earth, but now we are His body. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouthpiece. And He's looking to us to use what we have given to Him to meet the needs around us. You see, the Lord responded. He wants to work the miracle through them. So He responded, "How much do you have? How much do you have? Go find out." So you don't, you said with what? You said you'd have to work for months. Well, what do you have? Go find out what you got. What do you have currently? And after they said with what and we can't, Jesus says, well, what do you have? And we may not think, you and I, we may not think that we have anything to offer. We may not think that we have anything to give Him. We may not think that we have anything to give them. But what I'm telling you is, you have enough in you. You might say, well, I failed. Well, give your failure to Jesus and He'll use you. He'll use it for His glory. You may say, I'm tired. Well, give it to Him and He'll be your strength. You might say, I'm a new Christian. Well, give yourself to Him and let Him work through you. Let Him work through you. Well, I'm new. I just started coming and I don't have it all together. He's not asking you to have it all together. He's saying, if you give me what you do have, I'll use it. If you might say, well, I failed recently. I don't care if you failed. He doesn't care if you failed. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons, but He's looking for somebody who's going to give Him what He has, what we have for Him. He's no respecter of persons. He just wants someone who's willing to use the little that they have. Mark 6:41 says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and He took the 2 fish and He looked up to heaven and He blessed them. You see, when we give Him the little we have and He blesses it, it can impact a multitude. It can impact the little that you have, can impact a multitude. Zechariah chapter 4, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by your might, not by your power, not by your spirit, but by His spirit, saith the Lord. And so When it is in our hands, it wouldn't work. When it was in our hands, it couldn't get the job done. When it was in our hands, it wasn't enough. But when we place it in His hand, and when He blesses it, the Bible says that it's more than enough. He's got more than enough for you. He's got more than enough for those in your world. Mark 6:41 goes on to say, "Then breaking the loaves into pieces, He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share." For some of us, when we give ourselves to God, He has to break us before He can use us. Hallelujah, Jesus. You might be here tonight saying, "I have given myself to God." Yes. Yes, you have. And He's blessed you so much. He's blessed you so much. But you're not letting Him use you. "I've given myself to God. I come faithfully to church and I love God." Yes, I'm so glad. That's awesome. Keep doing that. And He's blessed you so much for it. But you're not letting Him use you. He's done so much in your life. He's given you so much. He's kept you from so much. And He's brought you through so much. But yet, you hold back. He's saying, "I want to use you in Sunday school," but you said no. He's saying, "I want to use you in greeting," but you said, "That's not my thing." He said, "I want to use you in Peace Heaven Bible clubs," and you said, "I'm too scared." He said, "I want to use you to preach," and you said, "That's too much of a sacrifice." Whatever it may be that's holding you back, whatever He's dealing with you about, you know. If it's to give up something or to start doing something, whatever He's calling you to do, He wants to use you, but you keep resisting. And so because you keep resisting, He has to break you so He can use you. You know, the same word that was translated quiet place earlier in the text, they went to a quiet place. That same word can and was translated in the Bible to desolate place, to lonely place, to a desert place, to a wilderness. The feeling you've been feeling, the rut that you seem stuck in, if it seems like nothing can go right in your life and you just don't know why, God is taking you to a wilderness. To a desolate place where He is breaking you. He's breaking your will so you'll surrender to Him and give Him the little that you have. Listen, listen, listen. He did it with Moses. He took Moses from Egypt to a wilderness for 40 years so He could break him. He couldn't use Moses in the state that he was in. He was right there with the Israelites in the same city, but God couldn't use him until He took him away and broke him. Broke his spirit so Moses would let God use him. And He's doing that with someone here tonight. He has you in a place you don't understand for reasons you don't know why. And you feel like you're all alone. You feel frustrated, confused. And all that God's doing is He's breaking you so He can use you. Mark 6:42 says, "When it was broken and when it was used by God, they all ate as much as they wanted." They all ate as much as they wanted. When you allow God to use the little that you have, you say, "Well, it's just a little bit. It's basically nothing. It's pointless." When you allow God to use the little bit that you have, those around you can be abundantly blessed. And when they are around you, when they're abundantly blessed, because you made yourself available in spite of your situations, others found out that with Jesus, they can have all they want. With Jesus, they have more than enough. With Jesus, they don't need anything else because you allowed God to use the little that you have. If we could all stand. You might be thinking, well, that's all well and good, but if I'm constantly giving of myself, how will I make it through? If I keep giving of myself, how will my needs be met? If I keep giving of myself, where's my help coming from? Mark 6, 43 and 44. It says, and afterward, after they had eaten all they wanted, after they got more than enough, after all of their needs were met, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. 5,000 men. It's suspected there was between 15 and 20,000 people there. 5 loaves, 2 fish. After 15 to 20,000 people had all they wanted, more than enough, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover fish and bread. When we obey God, and when we give the little we have, and we bless and serve others first, we obey Him, there's always, always more than enough. Always, always more than enough. Afterward, the disciples, the 12 disciples, the 12 disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. You see, when you obey Him, when you're His disciple, you never go without. He will always meet your need according to His riches and glory. You see, the 12 disciples obeyed, and they each took a basket full home with them. Not one was left out. Not one's need was unmet. Not one went home hungry. Not one went out searching. Not one went without. But all 12 of His followers, all 12 of His people, all 12 of His servants left with a full basket. With Jesus, you always end up with more than you started with. You see, they began with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they ended with 12 baskets. They ended with more than they began with. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody's here and they're beginning their journey of living for God. They're beginning their journey of obeying what God wants them to do, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, the things that God is asking you to do. It doesn't make sense, the journey that God has you on, and you don't understand why. You're just beginning your journey with a little, with just a little. You only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You don't have anything really to offer. You have nothing to call your own. And God's saying, give it to me. And you're like, but God, it's all I got. It's the little bit that I got right now. I don't want to give it away. But He's saying, if you give me what you got now, in the end, you'll have more than you could ever need. There was more afterwards than there was at the start. When you give it to Jesus, He will always multiply it, and you'll leave with more than you had before. With Jesus, there's always more than enough. With Jesus, you'll never go hungry. Sometimes we feel like all we have are leftovers. I feel like time after time, I'm just eating off the leftovers. But with Him, the leftovers are more than enough. You see, later on, and that's in Mark chapter 6, but we move to Mark chapter 7, it says, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. And right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet, at the more than enough's feet. And her little girl was possessed with an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syria, in Pontodicea, Jesus told her, first I should feed my children and my own family and the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and to throw it to the dogs. And she replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps, the leftovers from the children's plate. And he said, good answer. He said, now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. She didn't come asking for a plateful. She didn't come asking for a whole meal. She just said, can I just get the leftovers? Can I just get the scraps that fall? Because I know that the leftovers are more than I need. I know the leftovers can heal my daughter. I know all I need is the leftovers. If you want, right now, the altars are open. If you want to come and say, God, just give me the leftovers. I don't need to hold on to it all myself. If you want to come and say, God, I'm going to lay. Here's the little I have, God. These altars are open. If you want to lay the little you have, just come lay it at the altar and say, that's all I have, God. That's all I have. Take it. Take it. I'll take whatever's left. Just give me the leftovers. I don't need this. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm not going to hold on to what I want, but God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, God, because I know with you, it's more than enough. God, I know if I give of myself, if I give of my time, God, if I give of my money, if I give of my love, God, that you're going to give me more than enough. God of much more. You're the God of more than enough.
My days on earth, hallelujah. I will away.
Hallelujah. God, I don't have much to offer. God, I feel like everything's been taken away and I'm in an isolated place. But Lord, with you, God, I'll be broken. God, with you, I'll surrender. Hey, God, you'll give me more than enough. I don't know where my bills are going to get paid from. I don't know how my job situation is going to get fixed. I don't know how my family is going to be straightened out. I don't know where. I don't know who you have for me, God. But Lord, I know that if I give you this little bit that I have, God, if I give you, God, this little bit that I have, God, it'll be more than enough in your hands, God. God, all I want to do is be in your presence, alone with you, God. And God, you can come down and meet my need. God, you can heal the hurt. You can heal the pain.